Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
With HubSpot's built-in AI, you can get more done than ever before. Breeze agents help you do things in seconds that used to take hours. And Copilot keeps you two steps ahead, giving you the right insights at the right time. Get started today at HubSpot.com/AI.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
On News Talk.
Now, my next guest is the best-selling author of Sweet Therapy, The Joy of Baking, and she is baker, a County Westmeath camogie player, Una Leonard, who joins me in studio. Good morning and welcome, Una.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is just a book full of sin.
Yes, completely.
Also known as sugar. It is full of sweet things.
It is.
And we'll talk about some of those in a moment. I think that we should go back a little bit into your own life, because the foreword of the book is quite an extensive autobiography, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a couple of pages of my life put into text, and it was a really difficult story to tell, and I didn't know if I wanted to put it into a cookbook as such, and I think a lot of people were shocked with the background of my story as it was and how bacon had helped me get out of, I was very badly depressed, and how much bacon had helped me.
I mean, you were something, and it's strange to think now, here you are, you work with food.
Yes.
You have your food business, which is called 2210. You employ people, but you're surrounded by food all the time, and yet you had food issues in school.
Yeah, I had an eating disorder. I had actually quite a severe eating disorder. I was anorexia, bulimia, and I was socially unable to eat in front of people, so that kind of like led into my eating disorder. But I absolutely love food. I love creating food. I loved being in the kitchen. I love cooking for people, but I just couldn't love it myself.
Yeah. Now what was it? Was it something to do with body image? Because here you are, you're an athlete, so you're fit as a flea.
Well, no, I don't know about that.
No, but you know, it's part of what you do.
Yes,
so you need energy.
Yeah.
You need to eat to be able to perform at the level you were performing.
Yeah, no, I do. And it started off in secondary school as that. It was, I just started to hate myself. I didn't like myself, and I was taking control of the one thing that I could control, which was what I was putting into my body. So I actually stopped eating because I wanted the fade away as such. I didn't want to be noticed. I didn't want to be seen. I didn't want to be doing all of those things. But I was still going to my camogie games, and I was still showing up to everything with a smile on my face and acted like everything was okay.
And of course, you're so active that if you tend to drop weight, people think, well, God, she's so busy. She's doing so many things.
Yeah. And probably because I did lose a little bit of weight, I probably looked a little bit healthier at the very beginning until it got extensive. At the end, I didn't look healthy at the end.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, I probably looked like I was just overtraining, and I was just at that age that I was probably losing a little bit of weight.
Yeah. Now, you tried to do harm to yourself, and I'm not going to go there because there are little ears listening and all the rest of it. Happily, you know, nothing disastrous befell you during those endeavours.
Yeah.
Nevin Maguire. Nevin is wonderful.
Yes.
And McNean House is fantastic.
Yes.
And you went there to apprentice effectively.
Literally, yes. So when I went up there, I it was a dream. Like, I remember actually getting the call to say that I actually was going to do my placement up there. And
because
I,
you had trained in...
I was trained in culinary arts, yeah. And I could not believe it. It was like up there, one of them things that I've always wanted to do. But on the other side of it, there was this girl that was going down and she was going to fulfill her dream. She was going to work in a kitchen she's always wanted to work in. And I was working and surrounded by the most amazing people. But I was in such a dark place. I think that spell...
And were you working away in the kitchen, doing everything... surrounded, and I having dined in Nevin's place, we did a program up there with Nevin. I mean, the food is irresistible.
Oh yeah, unbelievable, like incredible. But yeah, at the time I was not myself. I was in a really dark place. I think my shift was meant to start at 12 o'clock, but I always went in really early in the mornings and done the morning shift as well as my normal shift because I couldn't sleep. I had night terrors and I just wanted to get out of the house. So I'd be in there all day long. I absolutely loved it. And they were, I cannot tell you how amazing they were down there. For them to deal with my side of it, it was a couple of weeks and months into it that they realised how bad it was. My mum had to contact them and tell them how severely bad I was.
And you eventually had to go home.
I had to go home. Yeah. I had to leave it for a couple of weeks after a suicide attempt. And obviously my mum didn't want to let me back out of my sight and let me go out of her sight at all. But she actually packed her bags and come up to Blackline
with me. She went up to Blackline.
Yeah, she came up with me. She was delighted. She got all of the meals. They looked after her so well as well. And they allowed me finish out my term in that kitchen.
Now, in your book, you write in detail about how, if you like, baking saved your bacon. because you loved making cakes, even though, as you described it, it wasn't economic to do so.
No. And actually, if you've seen the cakes, I don't even know if I can call them cakes. It did not resemble cakes back then. They were like just moulds of like sweetness. Like they're not like the cakes I make now. But I just absolutely loved it. I used to go into the kitchen. I was speaking to somebody recently about this. It was like, You're completely out of your mind. You're just in the kitchen. You're in a flow. You're putting these ingredients together and creating something. And it was so special. I used to, hours would pass and I would be just happy out in there.
Yeah, but sometimes the task set by your nephew, is it Connor? I want a birthday cake that is a tractor.
And not even a tractor. He literally brought the tractor that
he wanted.
Copied. It had to be a John Deere tractor. And he was like, can you make this for me? I was like, yeah, of course. I've never made a cake before, but I'll make that.
Now, Connor's tractor begat other constructions and so on. When did it become what might be termed a viable business?
Is it even now? I know. So I'd say I was probably about 3 or 4 years into business when we actually started like thinking about it and putting a business plan together. So at the beginning, it was a passion project. It was purely a business to get me to do something every single day that I loved. And it's still something that I absolutely love to do every single day. And I don't mind if I have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, if I have to work a 30-hour day, whatever it is, I will do because I absolutely love what I'm doing. But it wasn't easy. Like, I remember the days at the beginning, like, I couldn't get any credit from any of my suppliers. I was selling buns and closing the door and running down to buy supplies to be able to make a cake.
With the money that you just got in,
yeah, to make it. Yeah. Yeah, it was literally like that, but it didn't matter because I was doing the thing I absolutely love to do. And so many people ask me for business advice on how to set up a business. And I'm like, I really can't give you any advice.
The first advice is go to the credit union and tell a lie.
You read that part, though?
I did. Tell a lie. I want to buy a car.
I drove in my car and told them my car broke down and I need to buy a car. And they gave me a loan, but you were allowed to do that back then.
I'm sure some people still do it. How many people do you employ now?
I think there is 15, 16 maybe now at the moment, and we're hiring two more.
Fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So your business is a successful, viable business now.
Yes.
It's interesting looking at the recipes, and it's all sweetness. I mean, that's why the book is called Sweet Therapy.
Yeah.
I remember, talking to people about baking. Baking is chemistry.
Yeah.
You've got to be exact. Now, you talk about your school girl recipes where you just threw anything in and hope for the best. But baking is precise, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very precise. But like that, you can still play around with it a bit as well. I like that kind of part of it, that you can add a little bit of flavour or change it up if you want to. So I suppose that's the part of what I like. And the creativeness. When I'm making a cake, you should see the kitchen when I'm finished making a cake. I don't know how.
You mean you don't tidy up after yourself?
Oh, no. I do. I have to. But I do look at the place and go, how? I only made two cakes and the place is a wreck. But I do love it.
Now, I'm just looking through it. There's no point in even talking about these recipes, you know, in the detail, the way we would with Gareth Mullins on a Friday, his recipes.
Yeah.
Because it's all sweetness. I mean, there are brownies. There are no-bake trays, which include things like Rocky Road.
Yeah.
Tray bakes and cookies. Doty bars, which of course, in memory of your grandmother.
Yes. Granny's name was Doty. So now every time people come into the shop to buy Doty bars, I hear her name every single day. I didn't expect it to be such a big thing. I didn't expect people to be making Doty bars at home. I never thought that was going to happen, but it's so lovely now. She had such a sweet tooth too.
Now, Orla's cheesecake, raspberry with white chocolate or Oreo with Maltesers.
Yeah, I'm actually going to tell you something about that cheesecake now. That's actually my cheesecake, but she took the recipe off me and owns it.
Okay, and that's a kind of a whipped baked one. Do you do a baked one?
We do them in the shop sometimes and we bake them, but I don't have one in the book.
Yeah, New York type
cheesecake. Yeah, they're delicious. Yeah,
but
they're not as popular with Irish people now.
No.
I think we all like the set ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, for those who are gluten-free people, there's a whole section.
There's a full chapter
for them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for those who like sugar, who don't like sugar, there's absolutely
nothing,
no chapter
at all. No. Definitely not a chapter there.
But there's scones and there's tarts and there's
like
everything.
All Mam's bacon is in there as well.
Yeah. Look, it is a fantastic book. And the fact that your backstory is so compelling, how baking literally saved your life, perhaps.
Literally, it saved my life, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so grateful for it. I'm so happy that I can get up every day and still do that one thing that I love.
Yeah, well, if anyone has been affected by anything that we've been talking about, you can call Bodywise, the helpline, on a Dublin number 210-7906 or the Samaritans on 116-123, because people listening may empathise with your situation or perhaps find themselves in similar. We're not saying baking is everybody's.
No, but there might be something. It could be gardening, it could be baking, it could be exercise, it could be anything.
Ulla Leonard, you are a force of nature. Thank you very much for joining
Thank
us in
you
studio.
So much. We'll
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
With HubSpot's built-in AI, you can get more done than ever before. Breeze agents help you do things in seconds that used to take hours. And Copilot keeps you two steps ahead, giving you the right insights at the right time. Get started today at HubSpot.com/AI.